United Airlines today announced new standard operating procedures after that passenger was violently bumped earlier this month. I'll talk to the CEO. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. United Airlines today announced 10 things it's changing to, quote, improve customer experience. This after a passenger refused to get off the flight to free up seats and was forcibly dragged off by police. The video of that was seen around the world. United now will no longer bring in the police unless it's a safety or security issue. Among its 10 changes today, United will offer up to $10,000 to get people to take a later flight. On the day in question, the upper limit was $900. United will no longer ever ask a passenger to give up a seat involuntarily unless it's a safety thing. And there are more changes announced. I spoke to United's president and CEO, Oscar Munoz, from his office in Chicago. Mr. Munoz, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I think you're about to tell me about what your airline learned from that horrible incident earlier this month. But before we get to that, please tell us what accounts for your initial insensitivity as that mess unfolded.
Let me first say, beyond the events of the day and the responses you suggest, it's broader than that. We had a serious breach of public trust, and again, we continue to be profoundly sorry and apologize to everyone involved. What happened is we let our procedures and policies get in the way of common sense and doing the right thing. To your question with regards to that specific choice of words in response, it was an awful choice of words. It didn't adequately respond to the gravity of the situation. I watched that video. My gut instinct told me to do something different, but I messed up, and I've taken full accountability for that. You know, in hindsight, I think about it every day and how we should have responded better.
So now, after review, United has this list of 10 changes to how it deals with flights and how it deals with the people who fly. Now you're pledging to reduce the amount of overbooking. How about you just don't overbook?
The process of overbooking is a complicated one. It's actually minimal. We, on certain flights, overbook by one or two people. Last year, we had, I think, 1 in 23,000 were involuntarily denied boarding. So it's a very small occurrence. And again, as we up the amount to $10,000, if indeed we need to deny boarding to someone, I think that's another incentive for us to, in essence, get to a point as an internal goal where we don't have any involuntary denied boardings in the system.
Just buying a ticket from you doesn't mean you're guaranteed a seat. This incident has been a wake-up call to passengers that that's kind of the way of the world. Do you need to make it clearer to people that there's always a bit of a roll of the dice about whether you fly or not?
You know, I don't know about making it clear. I think we need to communicate more effectively how we treat you, again, with respect and dignity as a customer. You know, that seems like a very harsh thing to say. I bought something, but I'm not guaranteed. That is something that again, has been put in place well before me, I think, as an industry. But we have to do better than that, right? We can't do that. And so our policies that we've rolled out here for the next today will begin the process of helping in that regard.
And this is interesting, an automated system for getting volunteers to raise their hand about possibly taking a different flight?
Yeah, and it's something that's done at other airlines, and it's a reverse auction, if you will. If we, for a host of reasons, we had to change aircraft or we indeed overbooked by a certain amount or there's whatever of many issues can cause overbooking, we want to let you know as soon as possible or let the people on that flight know because if you're just getting to the airport or even if we do it earlier enough and you're still at home and you have the opportunity and you have flexibility in your plans, we're going to let you call your number and sort of avoid the issue of having to do it at the gate and, of course, you know, really never having to do it when we've already boarded an aircraft.
The entire list of United's changes is at marketplace.org. Oscar Munoz, CEO at United Airlines. Thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
I also asked Mr. Munoz if industry consolidation meant his airline became too big to care. Plus, I get his view on airline passengers making and posting videos of bad behavior. There is an extended version of my interview with United's boss at marketplace.org. Now a status update on the North American Free Trade Agreement, which seems to have changed at least twice since we last spoke. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is in our Washington Bureau. At first, there was chatter of a presidential executive order to pull out of NAFTA.
Several news organizations reported on Wednesday that the White House was prepping an executive order that would call for the U.S. to withdraw from NAFTA. There was talk we might even see that order this week ahead of the president's 100th day in office. President Trump, of course, has complained since the campaign that NAFTA is a bad deal, and he blames it, as well as other trade deals, for losses in American manufacturing jobs. So, these news reports freaked out Canada, Mexico, Congress, and many American businesses that rely on free North American trade for their business models. Mexican and Canadian currencies plunged in the markets, and several analysts questioned whether Trump even could withdraw the U.S. from NAFTA on his own. So, then the story changed after calls to Trump from Mexico's president and Canada's prime minister. During those calls, according to the White House, President Trump agreed not to withdraw from NAFTA at this time, but that all parties agreed to move forward quickly to start renegotiations.
All right, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Also on the trade beat, the European Union's trade chief said today there is a good case for restarting talks with the U.S. on a new U.S.-EU trade agreement. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.